The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own. This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's another edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, Claude J Radio. You can follow Kevin Stanfield on Twitter at Stanfield Kevin. Don't be confused. I mean, you can follow Kevin Stanfield by looking up Stanfield Kevin.
You can.
And then
you
also,
can, yes.
You can follow the show on Twitter at FF.
You know, interestingly, and I was quite surprised by this, there are quite a few Kevin Stanfields on this planet.
Yeah, you know, you don't know how many people have their same name until you try to do like a search online, and you find out that there's a Claude Jennings with like 10 felony convictions. You're like, well, that's not me.
I don't think.
We don't want to get mixed up with
but
that.
But the other guy is like a news reporter in Provo, Utah, or something
like
that.
Well, see, that's
like
close.
Like,
that's close to what you do.
We got to get him on the show one day.
See what
the NFL's looking like in Provo, Utah. You know what I'm saying?
See what the other Kevin Stanfield just thinks about things in life and NFL.
Why not?
We'll see what he thinks about this Cowboys 38-14 win over the Redskins last Thursday to close out November. Redskins fall to, I believe that's 4-7 on the season, 5-7 on the season. I don't want to take away that win against the Giants from last week.
Because there's always hope.
A win, by the way, beating the Giants last 2 weeks ago in causing Eli to lose his starting job for 1 week, because then it caused the coach to lose his job and the GM to lose his job. We'll have more on the job. I mean, tis the season to be jolly. Tis the season to get fired.
Always.
If you're in New York.
Yeah, we got plenty to say about that. Very interesting situation in New York. I know you're listening to Rodney, and it's very interesting.
And as they say in the business, we'll have more on that later. But the Redskins lose 38-14 to the Cowboys in what was, you said it before the show, Kevin, just ridiculous. I mean, it was a game in which you're just kind of like, is this really what the team's going to put out today? Is this really what's happening where you've got two teams, 4-7? Any hopes you have at the playoffs, forget maybe mathematically, whatever, any hopes that you have riding on the playoffs, trying to get in the playoffs, kind of rides on this game, rivals in Dallas. They come to Washington just a few weeks ago and beat the Skins. You figure that you're going to put out something. It's one thing for a team to just be a better team. But when you look at the turnovers and you look at the sloppy play in the first half, were they ready to play? And we've talked about this before with Gruden. And I don't know why Gruden has seemingly, I mean, there's been subtle calls for accountability with the head coach. But outside of this show, I haven't heard anyone like criticize the coach or just bring up to the point that these guys sometimes just don't seem ready to play foot. Like they didn't know they were coming to play tonight.
Which is surprisingly, some people feel is the coach's job to get his team ready to play. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, like I said, except for this show, it's always all the players' fault, right? You know, And it's not. That's why they pay this guy, what, $8 million a year, right? Mm-hmm. Him and the 26 assistants, right? That's why they pay them whatever they pay them, because the athlete's job is to perform. It's the coach's job to put them in the best position to perform. Now, you know, everybody just doesn't have it, you know?
Right.
So maybe he should just, like, resign. You know, he said, well, I don't have it. I should resign. But I was listening to, friends of ours, Doc Walker and Brian Mitchell, they were talking after an interview with Joe Gibbs, and they talking about this as a debate, whether a player needs a coach to motivate them, whether it's really the coach's job. They said that what Joe Gibbs would do is he would give out T-shirts to his, like, prize performers. Like, can you imagine these guys make $1 million a year, but it was a T-shirt. Whoever had the best week of practice, offensive, defensive player, at the end of practice, the end of the week, he had on a T-shirt. And it would mean so much to these dudes to get this T-shirt. They were knocking each other out doing practice. Man, I'm getting this T-shirt this week, right? You know, a little $4 T-shirt. And that's because guys like to be recognized by their peers.
Right.
What we have here on this end, we had a team where Swearinger a couple of weeks ago was lambasting the team because he didn't like the Friday practices.
Right.
They were too soft. Mm-hmm. Friday should have been the, which is something he should have done internally, which is maybe one reason he's been on three teams in the past 4 years. Right. You know, we'll see how that. But yeah, this is not news that I'm fake news that a Gruden-led Burgundy and Gold team was not ready to play in a very important game.
I mean, we saw this last year when there was the Giants game. Had to win to kind of get in. You know,
you're selling that one too soft, man. Wait a minute. This was a Giants game when the Giants had already clinched and had absolutely nothing to play for.
And they showed that, and they literally played like they had nothing to play for.
And
said, you know what? If you're going to let us in, keep us in this late, we'll just win the game if you want us to win this bad.
Just beat the Burgundy and go.
Yeah. That was at home. And so you're just kind of like, you know, you watch this game and you're like, where do you go from here? You know, and while, yes, from the press conference, post-game press conference, just to the coach, and you can tell he's disappointed and things like that, but, you know, you just don't see the fire or the, like, you realize you're not going to the playoffs this year. Okay? Like, it seems like it doesn't touch the coach or some of the players the way, not that it touched the fans, but that it touched certain players. Like, you talked about DJ Swearinger. You know, I like fiery guys who hate to lose. I mean, we can make fun of Odell Beckham Jr. all we want to for kicking the kickoff the practice thing and then hitting the back of the net.
Yeah.
That's funny, sure, but he hates losing.
Right.
I mean, we can talk about Dez Bryant. You know, gets his third or fourth catch in the Thursday night game, and he's yelling over at the sideline, "Stole me the ball." Don't you want guys who cares?
That's what you need.
Who, you know, will be angry at these post-game, you know, press conference, not cussing out reporters, but, like, visibly just upset that they lost. It's one thing to be disappointed and, like, oh, I'm down because we lost. But what about just pissed because you lost? I want to win. I hate losing. We're 5-7. We're likely going to miss the playoffs. We just came out here and got our butts kicked. Like, guys are fumbling, dropping wide open passes. You know, where's the anger?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, there was a couple of things about the game. Well, it the team reflects his leadership. That's one thing there. I mean, if you're not angry enough at the prospect of losing, maybe you won't take the measures necessary to prevent that from happening. Right? if you're so content, we gave it our shot. We got injuries, you know.
Right,
it's like,
right.
You know, look, Seattle, the Seahawks have lost two all pros in their secondary.
Yeah.
They're vying for a division title, right? It's, you know, no more excuses. No more excuses. We're saying the same thing here that we've said since probably like week four, Which is, this is the same place we've been for year after year after year. We were an extraordinarily average team.
And the thing that's so frustrating about that, though, is the fact that despite all the injuries, there aren't many games when you look at the tail of the tape that there have been blowouts. I mean, Dallas got out of hand late. You know what I mean? I feel like that was the same thing with the first Dallas game. But none of the game, the Eagles game, sure, you know, was. But, you know, the Seahawks game, which they won, was not out of hand, but almost gave that one up.
The Eagles, they had the Eagles right where they wanted them.
Right.
Because they had the fans booing.
Right.
You know, remember they had the Eagles had like five holding calls in a row?
Right.
They had them, but they did not know how to just do them in.
It took a magical final 3 minutes in New Orleans for the Saints to win.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and even the Cowboys, this recent Cowboys game wasn't out of hand until the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, honestly, even with all the injuries, you can use it as an excuse, but you're still in the game with these injuries.
Yeah. You know what, though? Deep down inside, in the back of your mind, then you kind of feel good for Alf.
Oh,
you
man.
Because Alf.
100%.
If the coaches, if we were tweeting back and forth, or not tweeting, we were actually texting. If you want to tweet, you can hit us at FFRep or at Stanfield Kevin at Claude J Radio. You know, get involved in the communication, right? But we were texting back and forth. If they had just continually gave Alf the ball,
right,
it would have been a lot worse.
Right, yeah. It was weird because they get all this success running the ball. This is Dallas with Alf. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, two straight passes and then it's 2nd and 10. And you're like, what are they doing? Like, why aren't they running the ball?
There was one play, one series that Alf had run basically about 40 yards downfield. They were like inside the Burgundy and Gold's 10.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought Alf out and put in, what was the guy
named
Smith?
Rock Smith.
And Dak looked around to see where Alf was, and he did a double take, right? He's like, whoa. You're not, what?
Right.
Okay.
Right. It was odd because even, you know, they say with Zeke out, they were going to do kind of their regular running rotation, just that Alf would be. And there's no way in the world Zeke comes out in that situation. And normally it's like every third drive, every fourth drive,
right,
something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And it was just odd. And you're looking around, and you're like, what is up with all these coaches that just does not believe in running the ball anymore?
Yeah, and because it was so obvious, the more Alf got the ball, the stronger he got, the better his runs got. The
By the way, we know
got.
That from the time he played here
really,
in Washington.
Was that a surprise? Was that a surprise to these guys when they said, well, you know, but it leads to, well, why wasn't he good enough to stay here then? You look at this revolving door we have at running back right now. Mm-hmm. What was with Alf that he couldn't stay? Was he too nice
a guy?
Well,
here's the funny thing, too, and you hear, well, we wanted him to be better out of the backfield catching the ball. But you've got a running back now in P-Ron and even Rob Kelly, who you never throw the ball to, so much so that with P-Ron in and Kelly out, you got to bring in Marshall for third down situations because P-Ron's never had any third down the package experience.
You know, I watch The Big Bang Theory a lot. I watch it a whole lot. I love that show.
It's a funny
show. Yeah, very, you know, bright guys, analytical minds. And I think if you got all those guys, if you got Sheldon and Leonard and Wallowitz and Kugler probably in this room, even Penny, put her in the room and say, look, we got this running back, and he's not great at catching the ball. They would probably talk about it. They probably say, well, don't throw him the ball.
Exactly. You
know? But see, those are rocket scientists for real, right? You know, I know that the people out of the Redskins Park don't think about
and
that, right?
And it seems
right?
you like know? You need to be a rocket scientist yeah,
but,
just to make
this
stuff
work. But look at the stuff that he does. He did, against the Brooklyn Eagles, what he did when he was here.
27 carries, 127, and one touchdown.
Positive yardage.
He did exactly to the Redskins what he normally would do to the Cowboys when he was on the Redskins playing against the Cowboys.
But couldn't do it here. Just could not do it here. And therein lies the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Poor decision making, right?
Yeah.
From the top down, it's just poor decision making, right? Why do they do what they do? There's no rhyme or reason to it. There's no, you know, the Burgundy are going, they're good for what ails you.
Right. Well, you said that. I mean, going into the game last week, that's not, you know, this wasn't like the Cowboys of last year where a team was feeling as if they had, you know, they're leading the East and they're one of the best teams in the NFC and all sorts of kind. This was a team that's reeling, a team that's falling back. And the same way you said that the Skins were good for whatever ails you, you know, one could have looked at the Cowboys. Cause I mean, again, there were folks talking about, you know, Dak has hit a sophomore slump. Dak's not really that great. Dak missed Zeke and all this other kind of stuff. And this was a team that was reeling. You could have really went in there, and especially early. That's why those early turnovers really hurt the Redskins, because you could go in there early, get the crowd out of it, take Dallas's heart, put them in a here-we-go-again situation, and try to sneak out of there with a win. But, you know, you can't fumble the ball on special teams. You can't give up special teams touchdowns. You know, Kirk's got to protect the ball. You know your line is banged up. You got to protect the ball. You can't. Those interceptions, I won't necessarily blame him for. I mean, you know, when it hits you. Although, I guess, the way you throw them, I mean, you know, he kind of set Crowder up last week and almost got his head knocked off. And so
right.
I think Crowder kind of thought the same thing was about to happen in the end zone.
Kirk was throwing high heat, man. That's what it was.
That ball was way too high
and too hard.
Yeah. And it's going to reflect over. So I guess you can blame him for that. But, you know, even the fumble, you know, you've got to play a little better than that, especially knowing the situation with your offensive line. Yeah, guys like Morgan Moses, I mean, who obviously is hurt. Trent Williams, who had a great game, by the way, obviously not 100%, but still had a dominating game. I mean, you know, you've got to do better than that when you know your team is not 100%.
Yeah, but there's got to be some kind of rallying cry. And if we have some technical difficulties, because we'd ask Captain Kirk how he feels about it. But that's the captain's job, right?
Right.
You know, he's got to tell these guys, look, you know, I know you're hurting. We all hurt. It's like there was that movie. What was it? Lone Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, can you fight? He said, I'm shot. He said, well, I'm shot. Can you fight? You know,
right.
That's it.
Right.
Can you fight? We just need somebody who will put up a fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now, as it stands right now, Dallas has hope.
Yeah, right.
You know, we don't like that. Dallas has hope, and now we're just looking to see how we end the season. Now, I understand that, back to the Big Bang Theory, there's a mathematical chance, right, that the planets align, that, you know, if there's an earthquake on the, you know, Mississippi or something, there is a chance that we can make the playoffs.
Decide they don't want to play the rest of the games.
Do we want to make the playoffs like that?
Some don't mind. Some don't mind.
Yeah, I don't know. That we'd be setting ourselves up for embarrassment. We might as well go ahead and play the Patriots the last game of the season.
So before we take a break, I just want to take a look at the numbers. Dak Prescott, 11 for 22, 102 yards, two touchdowns. Again, not really impressive.
Well, let me add this, too, before we go any further. And Dak, you know, with some weird play call when they decide they're going to run the Oklahoma option and pitch
goodness,
out,
yeah.
It gets lit up with a good clean hit where he just hit on the hand and the chest, right? And his hand starts to swell up.
And they can say what they want. He was clearly bothered by that hand the rest of the game.
It just starts swelling up like one of those Bugs Bunny things where he blows his stuff and his hands get bigger. And you figure, well, the quarterback can't throw. Let's block this. Let's put eight in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Make them have to throw the ball.
Man, absolutely not.
Oh, no. We're just going to stay where we are, right?
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. That once he hurt his hand, I didn't see any effort to try to force him to throw the ball.
No. And when he did throw it, he was like, he was spot on.
he was throwing
touchdowns. He hit, you know, like I say, I've always said he's made Whitney, added 5 years of Whitney's career, right?
Absolutely.
That guy hit Whitney's making commercials and stuff, right?
And new endorsement.
Dez, he throws the ball to Dez, you know, every once in a while. Dez catches it every once in a while. Yeah. Dez is happy, right? You know?
Right.
Dez throws me the ball. And you know, I look at Dez and I look at what we have in Dachson. Then there's similar physical builds. Dachson has to work on his upper body strength because the ball gets to him and the defensive back breaks it up and pulls it away from him. If it's above everybody, he's an amazing guy, right? He's like rebounding, right? But he just has to work on his upper body strength, which I'm sitting here doing a radio show, and I can see that, right? Why can't these trainers see it? Why can't the coaches see it, right? What are they looking at? They can't see the obvious, right? I'm getting mad, fans. Forgive me for. I'm not mad. I'm not really mad.
Well,
I mean,
because
I'm not getting
right.
I don't gamble on these games. I never gamble on a football game you're not playing in.
By the way, speaking of gambling and the numbers and things like that, in the first matchup, if you add 5 points to the Cowboys total and take away 5 points from the Redskins total, it would be the exact same number. Of this final. I'm not sure there's any kind of gambling implications with that.
Yeah, so we got to ask the Supreme Court about that. I know we're talking about
that. Yeah, got to see what's going on with
that. Dak had a decent game. He had an old-school NFL game. Because
they relied on the run. They ran the ball. If you don't include Dak's 5 carries, they ran the ball 35 times. So 42 in total. Rod Smith had 10 carries. And again, Alfred Morris with 127 with the yards. But, yeah, they relied on running the ball, especially when you're up in the game, which was kind of odd because Dallas doesn't normally do that. But once they finally
this will work. You know, hoping somebody on the sideline was taking notes. If we ever see a lead again. Okay, I don't want to be just so cynical.
Let's take a look at some of the numbers.
We've danced this dance so many times before, right?
Yeah, you know? I mean, literally driving into the studio today, I thought about it. Outside of just the specifics to this game, which we always do for about the first segment, we talk about the specifics for the game that just played.
Right.
The larger story is the same stuff we've been saying for ever since we've been on the air.
No.
Except take out some of the quarterback controversy stuff with RG3 and Kirk Cousins. Like, well, what else to talk about?
You know, so what we could
do, else?
If you have a little time after this show, we just record a couple more.
Right. Let's record next week's show
stats,
now.
Right?
Exactly.
Some things aren't going to change.
Yeah, no, it's real weird. By the numbers, a little bit more. Kirk Cousins, 26 for 37, 251 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. If anyone put those quarterbacks side by side, one would assume that Kirk played on the winning team.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, they seem to like that about Kirk. He has good stats. Except they don't like the stat in the one loss column. For some reason, that one doesn't bother him.
And all that kind of stuff. Great efforts, by the way, by just the entire offensive line. Because again, now they did given the injuries, I feel, and who's banged up and who's not, and the type of year that DeMarcus Lawrence is having, and you've got David Irving who's had a pretty good year. I mean, to just give up 4 sacks. And some of it, I'm not sure if you can blame on the offensive line. Kurt held the ball a little long for of those, especially the sack fumble. Not bad for that unit being that hurt. Mm. Again, anemic running attack. I don't know what you're going to do on offense if you're running the ball with your feature back just 12 times. And again, we say this week after week after week. At some point, you got to commit to the run.
Yeah, I would
assume.
Well, you can't commit to because they're not training these guys how to be aggressive against the run and not how to attack. The influence blocking scheme is more of a passive aggressive scheme. You know, we'll hit you if you're in the right place.
Right.
We're not gonna move you where we want you to be. You gotta look. You know that we'll. We'll see. At some point, man, they're gonna get tired. These guys, these big guys, are gonna get tired of just getting beat up. And like you know, their names are on the line here, right? If not here, they're gonna want to play somewhere else, right?
Right.
If they don't get like so beat up and so misused and mishandled,
like nobody wants them to be.
Right. And they're putting their careers in jeopardy, right?
You know, that's
so
right.
We can talk about that on the other side of the break. Should they play some of these guys?
Right. No, we'll talk about that. That's coming up on the other side of the break. We're gonna talk about whether they should play some of these guys. We're gonna take a look at fake news or not. That's America's favorite segment, by the way. Anyway, and I'll take a look at the NFL standings and see what's coming up next for the Redskins as they take on the Chargers, the LA Chargers, not the San Diego Chargers.
People. They can't do
the
it.
LA
they
Chargers.
They gotta go to San Diego.
That's coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
To protect the nation's economy and national security, the FBI is strengthening its relationships with the U.S. business community. The private sector spoke, and the FBI responded.
We heard from the private sector that they wanted one place to call, and so we created the Office of Private Sector for them to connect with us.
That was Unit Chief Shannon Rose, who says the FBI partners with the private sector in many ways, including
concerns they may have, which could be cyber-related, or it could be an employee who has access to information and could be potentially trying to sell that information to a competitor or a foreign adversary.
The FBI has at least one private sector coordinator in each of its 56 field offices across the country.
We want the private sector to know that we are here to listen to their concerns and then to help them through partnership mitigate those concerns.
If your company wants to begin building a relationship with the FBI, call your local field office and ask for the private sector coordinator. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halperin of the Bureau.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Lots of stuff to talk about regarding the Redskins' loss to the Cowboys. Well, lots of stuff to talk about, even though it's kind of the same old stuff that we've always been talking about with this team. But we're going to try to move on to some, like higher level, you know, long-term type discussions. But that's kind of, for lack of a better term, just a kind of a wider view of the team. And that's kind of going to be the theme for this week's edition of Fake News or Not.
It's time for Fake News or Not.
So you guys know the segment. Three questions. I toss to Kevin. He lets me know whether it's fake news or not. Not. Here's the fake news question. Number one. Coach Gruden said he wasn't sure whether or not Jordan Reed would be ready or not. You know, who knows? We'll see. We'll leave it up to Jordan and the training staff. It's up in the air. That's what he said at the press conference on Monday. Fake news or not, you might as well rest Jordan Reed for the rest of the season because there's no point in bringing him back this year. Fake news or not?
I think that's fake news.
Okay.
I think that's fake news because here's the problem. You got some guys out there who really, really need not to be playing, like Trent Williams. There's certain things, there's certain people out there that got injuries that they cannot heal by playing, right?
Right.
You know, and I heard a guy say that some people can play hurt.
Right.
Now, some people can play hurt and some people can't. Now, Trent can play hurt and Jordan can't. That's all there is to it, right? But the thing is, what kind of message are you sending to the rest of the guys when, you know, one guy's walking, like, he has to be, like, wheeled to his car.
Right.
And you get, oh, man, I got, like, a hamstring mosquito bite or something, right? You know? What message are you sending to your teammates? You know, like, you saying that I'm willing to give up my all, you know, to go, you know, into combat with you, right? You know? Or, hey, I'll be there with you if you need me, maybe, right? But just give me a little, you know, what message are you sending to your team? And we see how this team will react to its teammates down the road, right? Once they're here, they don't say anything, but once they leave, right, then they talk about them. So, no, that's fake news. You know, you might as well play Jordan. If he wants to play, if he can play, he should be playing.
Well, here's kind of a counter question to that first fake news or not question is, you know, there are guys, Morgan Moses, Trent Williams, just to name a few, who are playing hurt. You know, should they rest those guys or get those guys back healthy looking forward to next year's the offseason? Or you know, because who knows what – when you know Morgan Moses is already playing hurt and then you see him get rolled up on in Dallas and you're like, good night. Like, what else can go wrong? You know, do you just sit him so nothing worse happens to him?
Do you think they're going to allow the golden boy to sit back there in the pocket with some scrubs trying to protect him, right? They're not – you know, Kurt's not going to let that happen. Kurt is not going to let that happen. He'll go to coach and coach, I love you, man, but you know, I got this contract thing coming up, man, you know, and I'm the most important thing on the team, right? You know, because that's, you know, I say me more than anything else, right? You know, so yeah, if I were you, coach, you know, you got a couple of years left here, so I advise you, give me some of the big boys in here, right? You know, so yeah, they couldn't take a chance on risking their potential long term investment by putting some scrubs. They only put the scrubs in if they have to. So if Trent can stand up, they're going to walk him into the game. Remember years ago when Byron Leftwich was hurt in the college
and
game?
He was at quarterback at Marshall.
Right.
Hurt his knee.
Right.
He could literally take the ball from shotgun, stand there, throw the ball, and then his offensive lineman would carry him to the next spot.
Yeah. Right.
It was amazing to watch. It was amazing to watch.
That's right.
Washington, D.C. guy, by the way, Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, distant relative, by the way. Yeah. So, you admit to be a distant relative when you got rich, but hey, it's okay. But actually, to be told, it's one of my wife's distant relatives, right? And but that's what they're gonna do to Trent, right? They're gonna have like guys carrying Trent along the line, right? To protect Kurt, because Kurt's not going out there unless he has maximum protection, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised they're not throwing two or three tight ends out there doing the game to protect Kurt, because you saw what happened when they didn't protect Kurt. He gets hit, and things happen. Things happen that's not looking good for Kirk, right? And Kirk wants that $34 million, so you know, we'll see what they do.
Okay.
It's not about the injuries and the health, it's about protecting the golden boy.
All right, well, there you go. Question number two from Fake News or Not. The Giants just fired Bob McAdoo and they also fired their GM. You know, Gruden ought to be looking over his shoulder like, whoa, look what happened up 95. I could be next.
Oh, that's fake news.
Oh, okay.
That's fake news. That's, you know, sometimes you want fake news to be real. Nothing against the man. But no. He has the built-in injury excuse this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And we said that earlier, that we hope that they're not looking at that as an excuse, but more of a reason. But he's going to get a pass this year because they've been like decimated by injuries, right? You know, but they've always claimed they had a shot, they had a chance, they had a plan, but he's gonna get one more season. Mm-hmm. One more season just because of the injury thing.
Well, a follow up to that. I don't know why we have so many follow up questions to the fake news and not questions, but a follow up that too with the injuries, you know, but is that a valid argument? Like, hey, we've really been, you know, bitten by the injury bug here. I should get another go at. I shouldn't be judged based on this season on wins and losses.
Again, I look at Seattle. They lost two all-pro members of their secondary and vying for a division title, you know. And the Cowboys lost their number one, if not maybe the best player in the league, to a suspension, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And they're still in it, right? You know, so injuries are no excuse. They're no excuse. They're a reason, but you hear guys say they're part of the game. You just got to get more depth on your team, right? You know,
why
are those other guys, you know, you got your 22 starters, right? And your kicker and your punter. Mm-hmm. Why are the rest of those 30 guys on your team?
Right. They should be ready to play, right?
They cannot play. Why are you paying them to be on your team? I could sit there and not play.
Right.
Well, it depends on the position. I could play some of those positions.
Right.
Yeah, I could be there and not play. So that, the injury thing like that. Get some guys who can play. Get some guys who are good enough to challenge your starters. That's how you become a better team.
That's true. Yep, that's right.
A better team. That's it. You want to play? Get better than this guy.
Wow. Final question on fake news or not. At 5-7, albeit an outside chance, still feel okay. Easy schedule down the stretch. Let's take a look at this schedule as we look down the stretch. Let me see. At San Diego, winnable game. At home against the Cardinals, winnable game. At home against the Broncos, winnable game. On the road against the Giants, winnable game. Close out with four straight wins, get in the playoffs at 9-7. Anything can happen. Fake news or not?
Fake news. Let's go through those one at a time. I'll show you what's going to happen.
Okay. At I said, did I say San Diego a lot?
You said San Diego.
At Los Angeles.
Yeah, they might as well go to San Diego.
No one's going to see the games.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, well, because
no one cares
yeah,
about the
and they're winning.
Angeles,
interestingly yeah. enough, but LA is a front running town, so the more they win, the more people can come to the game. I think they're playing at a dump for a stadium too. Maybe something with capacity 34,000 or something, right? You know, they got a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They got a good running back. They got decent receivers. Phillip Rivers knows how to read a defense.
Right, right.
And the defense is holding their own. They're vying for a title there. This has been like maybe one of the – it doesn't really show, but it's been one of the strongest efforts the Chargers have shown in a little while. So
in a long time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, they're going all across the country. I mean, they pulled the Seattle thing off once. I don't know if it's going to happen again. What's the next game?
Well, here's the interesting thing about the Chargers, that they're 6-6 and tied for first place in the AFC West.
Right, because they're battling out there. They're scrapping.
So Kansas City 6-6, the Raiders 6-6, the Chargers 6-6, Broncos 3-9.
Which is interesting, because you thought Kansas City was just going to run away with the whole thing.
Exactly,
right? You
know, especially after the start that they had.
But that's an Andy Reid team. You know what happens this time of year for Andy Reid team.
So the Chargers have something to play for, too.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That can't be underestimated.
Yeah, so what's the next game?
The next game's at home against the Cardinals.
At home against the Cardinals. Now, we don't know is... Will Blaine Gabbert be quarterback?
Yeah, so we don't know just yet, right?
Right. Well, just like we didn't know about the guy in Minnesota, right?
You
know, Case Keenum, right? You know, so these are guys that are looking to build their reputation and find a place to start. I don't know if he'll be in with the Cardinals next year, but still, it's a veteran quarterback.
Right.
It's a veteran quarterback against a team that can't seem to stop anybody. And Adrian Peterson.
Right. A guy by the name of Adrian Peterson.
If the guy's watching any game films, he'd be giving a healthy dose of Adrian Peterson. Okay, what's the next game? The Broncos?
Next game is the Broncos.
Yeah, see, that's really good. That's interesting. That's a Christmas Eve game.
At home against the Broncos.
That's a Christmas Eve game. So that's one of those want-to games, right?
Right,
because whoever wants to be there playing instead of being with their family.
Sitting around the fire, wrapping presents.
Yeah. Whoever wants to. Now, the Broncos are a couple seasons away from a Super Bowl championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make... Might
they still have that defense, and it could be a
indeed.
Nice audition for Kirk Cousins.
Yes, indeed.
They're really
indeed.
A quarterback away from being halfway
let's see
decent.
Where he gets to know some of his future teammates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then New Year's Eve.
New York Giants.
New York Giants are playing to see who's going to be on the roster next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, here we're playing to see, just hope we can field a team, right?
Right.
You know, hope we can get 53 healthy bodies. These guys are playing for pride. And they've had a good defense, right?
All right, yeah. Long. I mean, their defense played well the first time
game. So this is not like it's an easy schedule. This is going to be the toughest part of their schedule. So we're going to see what they got. We're going to see what they're made of. Now, I'm giving them a chance because I don't think
Look like you're saying 2-2. Look like you're saying 7-9.
I'm saying this last stretch 0-4.
Really?
Really. I'm saying this last stretch 0-4 because they got too many built-in excuses right here. Now, if they break form and some of these guys show up and you know, bless them, they find five guys on the offense who get mad enough to just say, hey, let's just run 40 and 50 gut and forget all the cutbacks and all
right,
this, you know?
Right.
Hey, you know, maybe cut Kirk's stats down to throw him maybe 20 times a game, ball control, maybe that'll happen. They haven't done it yet.
Don't see a reason why they would actually
I don't know why they would change, but you know, the man might have an epiphany, right?
This
it's the holiday season, you know, miracles, right? Angels come through, right? You know, maybe the angel that talked to Charlie Brown about buying that tree.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop by
Redskins
or
Park.
Or the other way, maybe it might be a ghost of Redskins past, right?
Yeah,
you know, right?
Yeah.
You know, you might be visited by John Riggins in the chain.
Yeah, some kind of hologram of Thaisman. And
all that might happen, right?
You
might
Jacoby.
Be Scrooge McDuck, all that might happen. Who knows? The season of miracles, man. Anything might happen. I don't think so.
Anything could happen. This is the second season where the Cowboys won 2 against the Skins. Second season in a row where there's the sweep.
Beautiful.
Cowboys beat the Skins 38-14. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. We'll talk specifically about the game against the Chargers, what the Redskins have to do to win, and more coming up next.
To protect the nation's economy and national security, the FBI is strengthening its relationships with the U.S. business community. The private sector spoke, and the FBI responded.
We heard from the private sector that they wanted one place to call, and so we created the Office of Private Sector for them to connect with us.
That was Unit Chief Shannon Rose, who says the FBI partners with the private sector in many ways, including
concerns they may have, which could be cyber-related, or it could be an employee who has access to information and could be potentially trying to sell that information to a competitor or a foreign adversary.
The FBI has at least one private sector coordinator in each of its 56 field offices across the country.
We want the private sector to know that we are here to listen to their concerns and then to help them through partnership mitigate those concerns.
If your company wants to begin building a relationship with the FBI, call your local field office and ask for the private sector coordinator. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Kevin's here, Claude's here. You're here, and you're the important person.
That's right.
Everybody who's listening to this fine program, whether on 1500.
Like one of these last few shows, we ought to encourage some audience participation. Just give them a chance to rant and rave.
Yeah, right, call up, sign off.
Yeah, that's right. So what we're going to do, we're going to collect some tweets and texts, right, emails for the next couple of seasons. Maybe not after the next show, but maybe the show following that. We'll just give you 5 minutes to just let us know what you think about the season, like this season and the past. The Gruden regime, the Gruden era. Mm-hmm. How do you think that? How are you feeling about that now? So, yeah, so keep that in mind. We're going to reach out to you and we'll line it up, and yeah, because we, you know how we feel, because we say the same thing we got to be, because they ain't changing.
Right, they ain't changing, we ain't changing.
Yeah, but if you want to like defend them, yeah, we'll set it all up. So hit us up at FFRep, or you can hit Claude J Radio, or at Stanfield Kevin, and we'll make it happen.
Love to make it happen.
Please continue.
So anyway, around the league, I want to talk about some things that we saw that were kind of odd. What was going on with Gronk and that whole late hit, and then the kid going through concussion protocol, you know, he's suspended for one game. But honestly, one game suspension, is that enough for that hit that he did? I don't know if there was an associated fine or anything with it, but geez Louise.
What? That is so out of character for Gronk, because Gronk just dominates, right? You know?
Right.
There's no need for him to do that. He, the word I heard was he said that he was being held during that play, but when has that stopped anybody? Everybody stopped Gronk before by holding Gronk. Maybe Gronk just realized that he was being held, because they hold him all the time.
All the time.
They just can't stop him. But yeah, completely all called for, uncalled for, Bush League play. And yeah, he should have been suspended.
And he gave the usual, I want to apologize for, for what I did.
Yeah. So just, call the dude.
That was such a cheap shot. I mean, he was on the ground.
It looked like a WWE player.
That's exactly what it looked like.
It looked like Hulk Hogan against John Cena or something.
Yeah, right.
You know?
No, exactly.
The only thing he was missing was a folding chair.
Yeah,
right?
or coming off the top turnbuckle and jumping down.
Yeah, what was that about? Come on, Gronk.
So odd. What was some other things from the NFL? Did you watch at all? Because the Skins weren't playing Sunday. Did you watch that that god awful San Francisco Bears game, San Francisco versus the Bears game?
No. Yeah, you know what? I have the NFL package, but it wasn't a lot of great stuff going on
at all. Goodness.
Not early. Now it turns out that the Tampa Bay game and the Seattle game, which was late that night, and there was another game was like very competitive, but no, the San Francisco game, it was like, fortunately I have Robbie Gould as my field goal kicker on my fantasy team.
So you were able to get a field goal.
He was lighting them up, right?
Right.
Because he kicked four field goals, right? You know, so he was lighting them up. But did we might have seen the beginning of the Jimmy Garoppolo era in San Francisco.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Which, I looked about the same as other guys.
And so, not this past NFL weekend, but 2 weeks ago, we didn't talk about it, the fight with Michael Crabtree and Tlaib. I mean, obviously, it was left over from 2 years ago, where where Tlaib snatches off Crabtree's, chain.
Right.
And so they're at it again, trash talking, et cetera, et cetera. Tlaib snatches it off again. And then Crabtree goes on to do something that we all know is stupid. Like,
right.
We have those technical difficulties, but he would have won the most stupidest man in the world contest if we had that clip. What did he proceed to do, Kevin?
He went and approached Tlaib without his helmet on. For some reason, he removed his helmet and started to fight without his helmet on. That's the first thing, they don't even teach you the rules of football is the first thing. That's the first thing they teach you as a little kid.
Right. Don't take your helmet.
Fight, don't take your helmet off.
He takes his helmet off. Not even takes it off and goes over to fight. He then swings. Not, and it's clear he's not trying to hit him, because I can't imagine he's that bad.
He has a helmet on.
Right, exactly. He then swings at him while he has a helmet on, and his helmet is off. Like, what are you doing? Put your helmet back on.
Yeah, run back to the sideline, get your helmet and run back. You'll get ejected anyway. It's just not smart.
What is it with Tlaib snatching his chain off? Well, this time was just to get back at him for last. It was to just pick at him for what he did last time. But why continue to do that?
If you've heard any of the background of Tlaib and his family situation, and this is not the first chain that he's that he snatched off. I remember the first incident I heard where he and his family members all got arrested for illegal gun possession. They were like threatening some of the neighbors or something, right?
Really?
I'm talking about like aunts and uncles. It's like a family affair. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, do a little research.
Threatening uncles? I mean, threatening the neighbors?
Threatening people, right?
Why?
Everybody had guns, right?
Just threatening
people. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Predator 2. But
yes.
There was a scene where they were in the subway and a guy was getting hassled by some gang members and he pulls a gun and they pull a gun. Then everybody else in the subway car pulls a gun. That was the Tlaib household.
Right. Wow.
That was this particular holiday, right? Mm-hmm. Look it up. I make this stuff up. No, I do not make this up, right? This is not fake news. Look it up. So, yeah. Not surprising.
Very interesting situation. Yeah. Did you catch that Seattle-Philadelphia game, Sunday Night Football?
Did not catch all of it, but I am impressed with Seattle. Russell Wilson seems to know how to win. Like this was a tumultuous season for them, right? Because they had hard times getting it together. They lost Richard Sherman. They lost the safety. I don't know why his name escapes me for right now.
Cam Chancellor,
that's right. They lost. These are all pros, not just all NFC East, all pros.
Right.
And they continue to win because Russell Wilson will try everything in his power to win a game for you.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be blamed on Russell Wilson for a lack of effort.
No, you never
can say that. So, and the Eagles look mortal. They've been maybe reading a little bit too much of their own press clippings. And what they've done is the Seahawks have shown the rest of the league
how to defend
the Eagles and how to do something. So it's going to be kind of tough for them. They've had a nice season, a storybook season, but we got to see how the story ends for these guys.
Exactly. So coming up next week, this coming weekend, the Washington Redskins fly to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Keys to victory, Kevin, as you see it.
I would say if the Chargers missed the flight, but they're going to be
they're already going to be there.
This is going to have to be. They're going to have to change what they do. They're going to have to either go to a two tight end, three tight end set, pound the ball up the middle. They're going to have to go five wide and just go run and shoot like they used to do in the old days. They're going to have to change what they do, what they've been doing. The clinical definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over
and
again, expecting
a different
result, right? They're going to have to change something they do. They're going to have to maintain some ball control. We don't know what's happening with the defense, whether it's injuries, whether it's, they've been injured there too. There was a guy playing linebacker against Dallas I have never heard of. I know his name was like Vanos or Vamos.
Yeah, let me look that up because I remember
Lanto
watching
something
a Redskin fan and him saying the same thing. Like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, where did he come from? Right?
Vigils.
Vigil.
Zach Vigil.
Where did he come from?
Hometown of Roy, Utah. Played at Utah State.
Oh, Cooley must have brought him in one day.
Right.
Cooley's cousin.
Third season. Yeah.
He's been here for 3 years?
Let's see if he's been.
Has he made a tackle?
let's see. Well, yeah, the Cowboys game.
He's
made four tackles in the Cowboys game.
Prior to that, has he been?
I'm trying to click on this link for more stats, and they won't show anything.
They don't know who he is.
They don't have. They didn't follow.
NFL reference doesn't know who. You got it.
Let's see. He played a little bit this season in the New Orleans game. He had two tackles. He had another two tackles and two assisted tackles in the Giants loss. Six tackles. Well, four total tackles, two assisted tackles in the Cowboys loss. 2015, he played with the Dolphins, where he played all 16 games. 2016, he played with the Dolphins. He played seven games. 2016, he must have been traded or cut from the Dolphins and picked up because in 2016, he also played two games with the Redskins. So nine games in total in 2016. And in 2017, three games so far.
Very interesting. Well, you know, hey, welcome.
Right, welcome to Washington.
Welcome to Washington, man. We'll give you a call, take you out to lunch, you know. Maybe, you know, you might be it. You may be the player we rebuild around. You might be the heart and soul of this defense from the UN Swearinger, right? You know, but welcome. Couldn't stop Dak and Alf, but hey, welcome, right? You know, so yeah, that's what do you think the keys to this victory are?
I mean, I think when it comes to San Diego, you have to try, and again, this might be asking a little too much, but you have to try to limit them in the passing game. By the way, Rashard Breeland has had a pretty good season. And I understand Dez caught that over him, but that's a pass that Dez may get. It's a 50-50 because Dez drops a lot of those too. But you're going to have to, and for some reason I feel like that plays kind of to the strength of this defense. You know, when you're looking at Breeland and you're looking at Norman, I think you have to stop Phillip Rivers. You can't let him beat you. You know what I mean? You can't let him get into this thing where he's slinging it all around the field and stuff like that. And I think that the Redskins defense can do that. I think a lot of it's going to depend on whether, well, first of all, no turnovers. You can't turn the ball over like they did against Dallas. No turnovers. You cannot turn. And I know that's such a cliche, but with this team more than anything, you can't turn the ball over because you haven't shown the ability to recover from turnovers in that fashion. Number two, and with so many injuries you have on defense and on offense, you can't afford to give your defense a short field to work with. That's just not that is a recipe for another 38-14 loss. So no turnovers. I think you have to limit Phillip Rivers' effectiveness throwing the ball. Now, again, you're talking about one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and so he's that because he's good, and so it's going to take a great effort. But the defense has shown the ability to have these great efforts when you saw what they did against the Raiders. And you saw, even though it was a loss against Kansas City, the defense can play, you know, well against good players. So I think those are two keys on offense. Again, like we said with special teams, no turnovers. But I think you got to commit to running the ball. I think you got to commit to some ball control. Part of that slowing down a high-powered offense like San Diego is to keep them off the field. You can't score if they don't have the ball.
That's true.
Phillip Rivers can't throw the ball if he don't have it in his hands. And so ball control, run the ball. I think you got to get you got to, like you talk about, you got to just beat the man in front of you. Give your offensive line a chance to just grind this one out. Run the ball. P. Ron showed against the Giants. You give him some carries. You give him enough. You give him the ball 25 times. He can make something of that. But you'll never know that if you don't do it. You know what I mean? And then the one time you do it, you'll never go back to it.
Yeah, well, see, the thing about running the ball is there's less stats for the quarterback to have, right? And, you know, when it comes to the negotiation, right, it was like you say, well, you know, Kirk, you only threw the ball like 18 times this game. So
right,
we don't know
right.
if you can do it or not. But. You know, you're absolutely right. I'm just concerned that the plays they have in the playbook for running just aren't suited for the personnel they have on the team. And I don't know how hard it is to teach an old dog new tricks. You know, maybe some off tackle, some counter trade, dare I say. But the influence blocking is just not working. These guys are just busted. They're just breaking the play. How many tackles in the backfield did you see?
It's just a ton.
It's just not happening. We got to go maximum protection for the quarterback and just say, hey, if the receivers don't get open, that's just it. You know, throw the ball to them anyway.
Throw it up. And that's another point, too. I think, again, take some chances deep. Give your athletes a chance. You know what I mean? Take some chances deep. See what you can come up with. So every now and again, we get the chance to do movie reviews, and Kevin reviews movies. You've got something coming up that you're going to review.
Oh, yeah. With the new Star Wars, what is the name of it? The Force Awakens or The Force Goes to Sleep or something.
Well, I guess the Force has to go to sleep because it's going to awake. Yeah.
Right? You know, anyway, we're going to the screening of that. Next Monday. I don't know what the embargo is. I don't know because I'm a low-level world-renowned critic, so I can't go on TV and talk about like some of the hot shots can. But I will.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah. The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. That's it. Right. The Force Awakens was the first one. It's going to be a trilogy, and I guess the last one, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi is The Last Jedi Awakens.
Right.
The Force goes back to sleep or something. But seems very exciting, right? But But it brought me to mind of what's happening in the movies nowadays. And I was a big comic book fan when I was a kid. I love comic books. I loved like Superman, the Batman, the World's Finest, which was Superman and Batman, mm-hmm. like the Justice League, which is not this Justice League this they have nowadays, right?
Right.
Justice League with Green Lantern and Green and Hawkeye and all this, right? I like the Avengers, right? The Iron Man. But nowadays, comic books have taken such a dark and ugly turn, okay. right? You know,
it's the comic like, books have?
Comic books have. Like, a guy sent me a clip, and forgive me for not knowing your name, because I remember, because, you know, we're radio professionals, and I'm not looking at my Twitter account while we're doing the show. But he sent me a clip of, there's a new Avengers movie coming out called Infinity Wars.
Okay.
And it's about a character that appeared in the first Avengers movie at the very end, at the tease, how they did something else. After I say this, I'll say that.
Okay.
at the tease of the first movie, and he appeared again at the tease of the last movie. And he showed me some scenes when his character was in the comic books, and he was like killing superheroes, right?
Uh-huh.
He encased one guy's head in like a plastic block. He just put his head in it, so the guy suffocated, right?
Wow.
He turned another one's bones to rubber, right? You know, he broke Captain America's neck, right?
You know? Are you serious?
Even
he killed Captain America.
I don't know if he died, but he wasn't like America.
Right.
he was like Captain Caribbean.
Right.
You know, even the Batman hero in the Dark Knight trilogy, the character Bane broke Batman's spine, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And this is not comic books, man. I mean, we used to read comic books because we wanted to be heroes when we grew up, right? When we were having problems,
yeah.
Right? Every superhero had the problem. Like, nobody in the world knew who he was. He had the secret identity,
uh-huh.
but he had that greatness within him, right, to
right.
help humanity. So that would lead us to have that greatness with us
yeah.
to save humanity.
Yeah.
But nowadays, a comic book hero, he just might as well be a dude in the street getting mugged, right?
Right.
What's the point? Having all these superpowers, if a dude's gonna hit you in the head with a cosmic baseball bat and take your wallet, what is the point? You know, you're a Jedi, also right. you're the last Jedi, because
right.
they wiped out all the other
yeah,
Jedi.
Yeah, how'd right? that happen? I thought we had these superpowers.
Yeah, what good is a superpower if just some random space thug could just come and just do you in, right? What chance does the Earth have?
Right,
what's
not much of a chance at all. What is up with
so
that?
Where's the hope, right? So we gotta, you know, we have to change that, right? You know,
yeah.
we gotta, you know, and it's just, you know, Marvel has an entire universe of superhero movies. And I know what I wanted to say earlier was, they got this thing now where you can't leave when the credits start because they're going to show
that.
You a little
yeah,
clip.
Yeah, and I hate that because the credits didn't take 5 minutes and you're just kind of sitting around and you're waiting and then they show the clip and that's cool, but why not just show it at the end of the movie?
Right.
Like, why not just show it like once the movie's over and everyone knows it's over, it fades and then something else comes up, you know?
Why do all that, right?
Is there like some kind of sponsorship to the credits now? You got to have everybody sitting around. Like I totally don't get what movie did. There was a movie I was watching this past summer and I can't remember exactly the name of it, but gosh, which one was that? But they showed a clip for maybe one of the newer Godzilla movies or
could
something
be,
weird.
Could
I can't
be,
even
yeah,
remember
yeah.
what it was. But yeah, it was just odd. It's like, why in the world would you do that?
Yeah, because then people are not trying to leave the theater. They're standing in the aisles waiting for something else
yeah,
to show
and you're
up.
Like, come on, man, please get out of the way.
Or just sit down.
If you want to watch it, sit down. You might as well sit down.
Well, here's what I do. I just wait till the next morning and look on Rotten Tomatoes because they tell you what happened. You don't have to see it. They'll tell you. Now, I'm not going to tell you because I'm a world-renowned movie critic. You
right.
know, and I won't take any money out of the theater owners' mouths, right?
Right.
By you not coming to the theater and buying that popcorn, right? So you got to go to the movie and see it, right?
Go to the movie.
Yeah, and we're going to give you a review for Star Wars. We're not going to tell you about the movie. We're not going to spoil the movie for you, right?
Yeah, no.
We want to let you, draw your own conclusions, but we're hoping for hope.
Right.
We're hoping there's not a downer, right? You know, because you go to movies to be entertained, be uplifted. Remember when the movie Misery came out?
Uh-huh.
It was the perfect name for that movie because I was miserable in there. I was just miserable. Oh, man, I feel bad.
Because you want to feel good. You want to feel hopeful, not, you know, scared
more
to death.
More recently, the movie Fences with Denzel and
it wasn't really a bright situation.
The theater is silent.
Yeah, no, it was quite sad.
Why go pay $20 for that and feel bad?
We should do a special Federal Football Report edition next week. We'll do a segment on what not to get the football fan in your life.
That's right, absolutely.
because there's no need to get me a silly tie with a football on it or, you know, my favorite team on my tie. I don't need that foolishness. Yeah. Have you ever seen me wear anything like that before?
Yeah, no, don't do that. No fat heads either. I don't want any fat heads.
No, I'm not 10. And so we'll get into that next week. This is the Federal Football Report. The Redskins take on the Chargers. We'll have full analysis, which will probably sound like this week's analysis, because the team continues to do the same thing over and over again, and it produces no wins, and it just produces losing seasons. That's coming up next week. You have a lot to look forward to on the Federal Football Report.